6 o'clock. So the work session is in order, and first order of business is the roll call. John Updike.
Here.
Marjorie Baum.
Here.
Jim Hanselman.
I'm also here.
And our attorney.
Still.
Still.
I'm here.
I'm Bill Brannigan, I'm here. And on the upper left corner here of the TV screen is Bob Berman. And Gary East is at a RV resort.
As am I.
As is Bob. Although I think Gary's down at the Rogue Valley RV resort versus the Vancouver one. Okay, so we, at this point,
Dustin.
Oh, Dustin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Present.
Dustin Capri.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't recognize you because you didn't have the right shirt on.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty mellow this evening.
Listen.
Yeah.
This is very unlike you.
No floral prints.
Yeah.
No, what do you think?
No.
Yeah. Are you feeling all right?
No Hawaii prints. Just orange, or is it pink?
It's a faded salmon color. Let's
salmon.
Call it that.
Salmon.
Yeah.
Peachy.
Peachy. Okay. Turn it over now to Derek for new business.
Absolutely. So Derek Tokos, City of Newport Community Development Director. So the first item under new business is a discussion about potential craft cottage industry code language for Newport commercial areas. This is a request by Carol Schenk.
And Jim Kaplan.
Who is here. And so my advice, at this point would be to give Carol an opportunity to come up and share with you her proposal. I believe there are others here who would like to speak to it as well, and go ahead and hear them out.
Yeah, have a seat. The microphones are on.
Okay. So
for the record purposes, if you could give us your name and address.
My name's Carol Schenk, and my address is 437 Southwest 5th Street in Newport, and I'm representing the Coastal Arts Guild, which is a nonprofit was formed in 1985 to support the arts in Newport.
Could you use the microphone?
Very closer. Is that better?
That's better.
Okay, sure. So, should I repeat what I said?
No.
Yes, no.
I'm good.
Okay. So the Coastal Arts Guild is proposing a change to the commercial zoning throughout Newport, and the intent is to allow, the term that we've settled on, this could be adjusted, but is custom creative work, and the concept is certain uses that are currently designated as light manufacturing are thereby prohibited from being allowed in any C1 or C2 district, and in the C3 zones, there's a conditional use permit required. And we would like to support the diverse economic development of Newport throughout the city and support entrepreneurs and independent business people who would like to have a creative use and in the commercial areas. I don't know if you have questions, or I could go through the proposal to start. How would you like to proceed?
Does anybody have some questions, Carol? Let me know. Gary East has arrived.
You mentioned in your material that you sent us,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
that you were aware of perhaps three mm-hmm. individuals or investment groups that
individuals
had investigated mm-hmm. setting up some kind of shops. Could you share with us what kind of shops those might have been?
One would have been a retail art supply store in the front and in, as a storefront with art studios in the back. Another one was someone who wanted to have a art studio and then have a gallery space in front where they sell their work. Actually, the other two were both that. So.
This would apply to all commercial, just not the Nye Beach area.
Right. Yeah. It's not specific to Nye Beach. It would be, and we're looking at as Newport is investing in redevelopment and urban renewal, allowing to accommodate in today's economy. There's more diversity of types of businesses and more. Sole proprietors that want to start, and we mentioned in the report that, you know, a lot of people come to the coast to begin a new life, start a creative pursuit, and right now the zoning is a deterrent. If you know, it at least it sends a message that the city doesn't support that, and in two of the three commercial zones, it's actually outright prohibited.
Do you have a sense of what size these shops would be? Is this 300 to 800 square feet? Is this 2,000 to 3,000 square feet? Do you have any idea what these people might be interested in?
Well, it would depend on the use. Someone who's making candles might have a smaller space. Someone who's a leather worker might need, or a woodworker might need more
shop space.
Yeah.
So, and highly variable.
It would be, yeah, and one of the, we use the Seattle Municipal Code as a model because the code is similar to how Newport's is structured, although Seattle is a bigger city. But one thing, and this would be a choice that you could make, but they gave a square foot limit to printing presses. So it could be for certain industries, you say it can't be bigger than this in order, and to help make the distinction between what is light manufacturing and custom creative work. So there could be a square footage limit, there could be number of employees. The primary distinction is assembly line versus individual creative work.
Derek, do you have an idea of what the city was thinking when they identified light manufacturing? Do any of the examples on Carol, Ms. Schenck's list, do any of those fall into, I mean, I can understand if you were a carpenter and you were building
cabinets.
Yeah, cabinets, you might need a big, you know, custom cabinets, something like that. I can see you might tie that to manufacturing, but a guy working on leather in a shop. I'm just wondering of the examples that she listed on page one of her summary.
Yeah, I think you're getting at a matter of scale. Mm-hmm. You know, that's usually what you get at. I mean, it's many industrial use at scale versus what they're talking about, which would be more cottage industry, small.
Yeah.
The code could be clearer, frankly, on this front. There have been some that have been permitted. I provided a few examples. Panini is an example. You've got lattice fused glass is an example. But that does, I mean, we get there because what we do is we find that is it retail the principal activity and then the industrial is ancillary. But the code's not particularly clear on that front. Could be clearer. That could be helpful to those that are potentially, you know, exploring whether or not they want to establish a particular use in a particular area. I think one thing to keep in mind is with industrial uses, many industrial uses, you will get into ventilation. Many of the buildings aren't set up for that, so retrofitting ventilation systems in existing commercial buildings can be a challenge at times. But that's not a reason not to do it. It's just something to be cognizant of, it that not all spaces are set up for all types of industrial uses.
Sure. Well, as a follow-up question, how would we use the word retail or the definition retail? How much must be retail? What must be offered as retail in order for these kinds of shops to exist in a commercial district?
You have a lot of leeway here. So, I mean, you can require a retail connection or not.
Okay.
Like I said, with most cottage industry, where I've applied cottage industry codes in the past, typically it's a square footage limitation and maybe a reduced range of uses. Certain heavier industrial uses maybe don't fit into that category.
Okay.
And sometimes there's that retail connection, so that there's at least some retail element in addition to the. But those are things that you could sort out if you want to take a look at, you know, adding that to the code.
And right. may I respond that on page 5 of the packet is the current definition of light manufacturing, and it gives a long list of artwork, jewelry, manufacture of glass, blown glass, pottery, printing. So it's really a very extensive list of what we would consider could be creative work if done at a custom scale.
Yeah, I had looked at the noise, the odor, those kinds of things.
Right, and
I'm stepping on Mr. Berman's time.
Oh.
Mr. Berman, my apologies. Oh, excuse me, Commissioner Berman.
Not at all. It just, I know from having sat in Bill's seat, it's hard to see people waving their hand. So my only concern, I think this is a great idea. My only concern is the references to food. That seems to be a different nature, and I'm wondering, Carol, what your thoughts are on that, as opposed to crafts and artwork and things like that.
Well, the intent is to promote a diverse creative economy, and I guess I can just say that it seemed to make sense to include that scale of work for food as well. Someone's wants to set up an independent, you know, shop making smoked meats or something, then that would be our, I guess there just didn't seem a reason not to, and we were looking at the Seattle Municipal Code as a model, and it groups those two together, and if the intent is to support a diverse economy, that made sense to us. It doesn't have to be there. I think it would be nice.
Derek, if you're going to, if we decide you should prepare language, I'd appreciate an option that somehow excluded food, because that opens up all kinds of issues with the neighbors. We went through that with the food carts and, competing restaurants. Most of these businesses that are being talked about are not in the nature of competitive with other businesses potentially next door. But food is always very sensitive. So I'd like maybe to have language that would limit that or not, okay. As options.
Sure.
Would that include distilleries as well?
Just a flat-out distillery, I think it would be fine, but you generally don't have that without some food service.
I think there was a gentleman trying to do sake or something here, right, at one point. Does anyone remember that? No. Maybe just in my head.
At one point, I had somebody was looking to do a boutique distillery, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The examples that you have on page 1, would those be independently standalone operations, or would they be ancillary to an existing business?
I think either would be the main. Our goal is to remove what looks to be an unnecessary restriction.
Seems like
restriction.
Your goal is to encourage creative new industries. And,
exactly right. Yeah.
40 years ago, there was somebody in a garage came up with the internet, and now look at it. So,
yeah.
Did you or your group put together these materials with the existing code, suggested language? I mean, it's a very well drafted presentation.
I put it together.
To
25 years in local government, sinks in.
My other final comment in looking at your examples of the cottage industries, it didn't seem as there was any really food service. There was preparation and maybe some
That's
canning
right.
or brewing, but I didn't see anybody
making hamburgers or fish and chips.
Right, yeah, and the intent is, I mean, because that's already permitted as a use, so so this is about producing something to sell. And then I wanted to say, too, that on page 2, there are some recommendations for specifics about parking and the, what was the other one? Well, the public interface requirement. And both of those, I think, we're just proposing those as possible approaches. I think it would be, or we would like to have input from people who might take advantage of this code change to hear the impact, because it could be that this is what we're trying to do is fit it into all existing commercial code regulations and restrictions so that there would be no impact outside of what a normal business would have. Mm-hmm. However, it may be the case that, like, the way the square footage is figured out for retail might not make sense, but you might have a 2,000 foot sculpture studio wouldn't have the same traffic as a 2,000 foot clothing store or something. So just to make sure that we're not creating unnecessary burdens on entrepreneurs.
The municipal code should address that, though, right? In theory.
Well, the way it is currently, my understanding is that it's current for current uses. Like a parking requirement would be based on the square footage of the retail, the space, the percentage that's retail. But I'm just saying that defining what is retail within a creative use might be different, might require some flexibility. So
in this case, though, in theory, I mean, it could have exclusive industrial use, right, which would have the lowest parking demand. So, I think up and down Newport, we have so many unused commercial spaces, mm-hmm. that are underutilized, that are, a lot of them have ample parking, so parking's not an issue. So, I mean, I think that issue will be
limiting. That's not a concern,
yeah. Every issue that I can think that would be a problem would be covered in the nuisance code, mm-hmm. or the building code. Building code for safety, nuisance, neighbor issues, that's all going to mm-hmm. be dealt with in the existing code.
Yeah. And I believe that by definition, the current light manufacturing code also prohibits impacts by odor or pollution. Yeah. So it's already, those uses are already contained. So.
How much of an administrative lift is this for you, Derek, and your staff?
Oh, this type of code change can be relatively targeted.
If it is.
Okay,
yeah,
I mean, anytime we do a legislative change, that can evolve and morph, but it can be a relatively targeted, straightforward change.
I think it's a great idea.
So we're hoping to, this is just a beginning of a discussion, so we're happy to answer questions or definitely would hope, as you guys make progress, to hear from other people who would be interested in the code.
Any other questions of Carol?
Okay.
Yes, I have a
Margie.
Question. So, like, I make hot sauce, and so that wouldn't be necessarily food, because although I would allow people, I don't make hot sauce, I'm making this up, that people could taste it, but it wouldn't be categorized as food, and I wouldn't have to have a commercial kitchen, or I don't know. I guess that would all pan out as to what they want to do, right, in that space.
Yeah, a lot, you start to get into the building code pieces, which they're already baked, in terms of the building code.
Yeah.
If you're doing hot sauce or you're doing making soap, I mean, you're gonna have certain requirements on commercial kitchen requirements, ventilation requirements. So
yeah, those
all
that
kind
would
of come through the mechanical code.
Yeah.
Or
okay.
The health department. Yeah.
Health department has a role.
Yeah.
Depending on the nature of the use. So.
And I don't think you really have to pin it to having to have retail, right? Because at the end of the day, depending on the industry, they'll want retail space anyway.
That connection is policy choice. You have the ability to make that connection if you think it's appropriate or not.
Yeah.
So that's really an option.
You could be selling it on the internet, too.
We had recommended, in order to help because part of it is to create a community that is a walkable, you know, nice place where people want to shop. And so to maintain the commercial character, to have some sort of public interface, it doesn't necessarily have to be a storefront. Could be an open studio with a gallery, or it could even be an educational function. So, I don't think you would want to have a bunch of, like a row of what were stores turn into a walled off, you know, inaccessible warehouse.
Like a teaching kitchen qualifies, something like that?
I would imagine, but again, these are, you know, that would be neat. Yeah.
I guess that's, limited commercial space, but we have limited commercial space, but still it's underutilized right now. But I guess that's true. You don't want to lose it all.
Yeah, I would agree that you want to have some kind of public access. It would be a shame in Nye Beach, for example, to walk by a storefront that is essentially non-accessible. Nobody's allowed in, that kind of thing. If it's just simply a manufacturing facility, then that's what it is.
Yeah.
And even if it's a small manufacturing. I think that in order to maintain the quality of the specific tourist areas that are all zoned commercial, that there should be some kind of public-facing aspect to the business.
Okay. Thank you, Carol.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Question for Derek.
Work session, Mr.
So I've got this straight. So there's also a statement about in I zones not requiring storefront public interface, which seems to make sense unless you can think of I zones where that's an important element.
We included.
I'm looking at page 2 of the letter.
The intent of that was to not change exist. So currently, those uses that are in light manufacturing zones wouldn't have a change in their requirements. And right now, there's not that kind of retail. So that was just a suggestion to clarify that this is a new use. It's permitted in commercial zones. Where it exists in industrial zones, it doesn't have that extra requirement because we don't want to put a new burden on those businesses.
Okay.
Yeah, our light industrial is pretty much a full flex zone, commercial and light industrial, and they can combine a retail element with industrial or not, their choice.
I just wanted that clarified. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. We have several other members of the audience out there. Would anybody else like to come up and testify or say something?
It's just sharing thoughts, no testimony, just work session.
Oh, okay, well.
Yeah.
Would anybody else like to come up and share an opinion?
Recognizing you may have had us at hello, so.
Hello. I'm so much more comfortable back there. I'm Veronica Lundell. I live at 419 Southwest 5th Street, and I have a business in Nye Beach. I'm also a board member of the Nye Neighbors Association, and my position is stated in that letter that has been submitted. I was asked by a resident of Nye Beach to read a letter for you. This is from Marcy Kenyon, to whom it may concern. I came to Nye Beach in 2016. I was over the moon to finally have an affordable home with an extra room and garage where I could set up my art studio. This has been a dream ever since graduating with a master's in fine arts. Now I hear that my dreams may be in violation of the city zoning code, which I object to in the strongest possible terms. There are many artists living and working in Nye Beach, and I believe that the area is being considered for a designated cultural zone. Here's a list of contributions my art practice makes to our community. I'm a volunteer at the Newport Visual Arts Gallery and on the Art Bus. I teach after-school classes, summer camps for our local youth. I exhibit and sell my work in a neighborhood artist cooperative. I host conversation and collaborations with other artists. I paint a banner every summer to hang in the commercial area that raises funds for more art education programs at the Newport Visual Arts Center. If you are not aware of the banner she's referring to, this is the Nye Beach Banner Art Project. We're in the fifth year of this project. It's something that I started, and it is for the purpose of raising funds for arts education for children that is taught through OCCA at the Visual Arts Center. Our local community thrives as a result of our local artists providing a platform for conversation, inspiration, and education. It is the spirit that drew me to this place, and I would hate to see it diminished by ill-considered zoning. Let me ask you this. Would you like your home office to disqualify you for living in Lincoln County? It is no different. Thank you for the opportunity to voice my grievance. Sincerely, Marcy Kenyon, 123 Northwest High Street, Newport, Oregon. I do think a lot of this has been addressed by Carol, but I told her I would share her letter with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Janet Webster, 113 Southwest Bay. I walk a lot around town. Justin, he says they're smiling. I see him running. And I notice empty storefronts and pretty boring storefronts. The Bayfront, we have a plethora of t-shirt shops and candy stores, but very few storefronts that are somewhat engaging to just to look at and see people making stuff. The one thing that was always really cool was when Newport Shrimp Line was right in the front windows and you could actually see what was happening. So I think the thing about having to have a retail component is not needed, but something that shows people what's going on in the building is engaging to tourists and locals, to kids. The Bayfront's one example. I think as you start to look about revitalizing City Center, it's the same thing that might not be a place where you want to go and have a cup of coffee on the sidewalk with Highway 101 traffic going by you, but you might be willing to walk by and see people throwing pots or making tiles or somebody working on jewelry or maybe somebody making custom clothing. So it's something that's just more engaging. It's a shame in Nye Beach right now that we have a fair amount of kind of dead, commercial space, which is office space. So I think anything that brings people back into a building and shows people working and creating thing is a good, it's a good thing. It revitalizes the walking experience. So thanks.
Thank you, Janet. Anybody else? Once, twice. Okay. Thank you. This was, I don't believe we have any. This was just to bring us up to date on what was going on.
If there's general consensus that you'd like to see some options, and I'm getting the sense there's general consensus you'd like to see some options, then the earliest we could probably bring that forward would be the October 23rd work session. And what I can do is when we're ready to bring it forward, I'll reach out to Carol and the others who have contact information so they'll have a chance to know in advance before that work session is and have a chance to take a look at the language that you'd be looking at. We'll draw distinctions too. I think we don't talk about it often, but the city does have home occupation rules too. It's probably good to show where this fits in context with other allowances. So it kind of carves out its own niche and is not really duplicating other pieces that already exist.
It looks like for October 23rd, you've got quite a few things.
Right, some of that stuff can be shifted around. It always is on the work program.
Just if that gives you enough time.
If not, then it would be November 13th, and I can coordinate with them in advance based on how things are going. So in one of the two work sessions, we could bring something back.
Given the skill set that the applicant had, could I suggest that any amendments to the city's ordinances be run past her before a work session so she could provide input rather than letting her seeing it the first time at a work session.
Like I said, I was going to provide them a copy of what's going
in advance. Give them an opportunity to comment on it so they can come and make constructive comments or criticisms when we meet again on this issue.
It seems like the options you're talking about are size, whether you want to limit the size, whether you want to require retail, and then the percentage or allocation of that retail. And then the other is whether you want to restrict a use like food or something else, right?
Right, and there'll be a few nuances to it depending on where we're bringing it in, because you have the water-related codes a little bit different. So just want to see how bringing that in there fits. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it can be a fairly strategic set of changes.
You still have to do a CUP in all that. You still have to do a CUP in that W1, W2, huh? No matter what.
Yeah, I don't think we've been able to get out of a conditional use in the W2. I mean, it's required for the retail stuff as well. That gets into the state shoreline protections, which are a little bit.
The bayfront doesn't really matter then.
Well, yes and no. I mean
for this, you have to go through a CUP no matter what. So
correct. That piece, I think, would be a difficult one to try to weave around.
Yeah.
Unless it was something that was a water related industrial activity, but those are largely already permitted.
Okay.
And the home occupation, too. I mean, that's already allowed in home occupations. Isn't a commercial use where lots of people, right? It's just your home and
right. A small scale activities, light industrial could fit into home occupation, but it's going to be very small. A studio could fit often in a home occupation, depending on how it's set up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just bringing it up to say, okay, here's the spectrum of scale and where it fits under the code. So I'd probably bring those forward just for context. That's all.
That's like a traffic threshold, right?
There are a number of standards on home occupation that are in there that provided.
I had to go through it. At one
provided
point.
You meet A, B, C, D, E, and F, you're fine. You know, it's that's kind of how that one's set up.
That's typical. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Had you guys given any thought to the bayfront? Just because you have to go through that CUP process anyway?
I have, just because I know.
Because you're used to that CUP process.
But I would say that lattice would be probably outright prohibited.
Yeah.
It was an existing use when the ordinance changed, I think, back in 2012.
Yeah.
I would think it might have.
Anything else anybody have?
Sorry, I keep thinking about this now. So you're not even going to do anything in W1 or W2, right? You're not going to have any impact on that. It's just the C1, C2.
No, I think I need to look at that because I'm going to look at the W2 as well. I mean, it's a commercial, mixed commercial zone there, water related, which allows a range of commercial uses. It's not all that different in many respects to the C2 in Nye Beach. We'll look at them.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, ladies. I'm sure we will see you again at a work session. At least we'll see Carol. Okay, next up is a city center revitalization project, the Project Advisory Committee.
So I included in your packet the Resolution 3992 that the council just adopted that's putting together the advisory committee, at least the framework for the advisory committee. They are now recruiting for the local business representative, area resident, and general public positions. So that's 5 of the seats of the 18. And please share that with anybody you think might be interested so they can submit an application. The applications can be submitted through the City of Newport's main page. And the council, I believe, is looking to do the interviews at their first meeting in October. So they're looking for applications to come in by, I think, 5 p.m. September 27th. The other positions on the committee are for specific stakeholder groups or organizations. And for those, the city manager or designee will bring a list to the council for ratification. So, which means we will be reaching out to the county, Pacific Community Health District, Centro de Ayuda, the lending institutions, probably the lending institutions in the city center area, at least one of them, to get representatives who are willing to participate on the committee. Dustin, I'll be talking to you. Hopefully you might be willing to potentially serve on the architect slot.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So just wanted to, I believe, Bob, did you, you expressed interest, but I don't recall if the commission has voted to identify its representative. I think way back when Jim Patrick was gonna serve in that capacity, but now he's gone, so.
Yeah, we know. I just expressed an interest. We haven't taken a vote. We were gonna do that one time, but there were one or two members missing, so we postponed that, so.
You know what we could do is add that to the regular agenda as an item, just for purposes of you guys having a discussion and identifying who you want to serve in that capacity.
Yep.
Okay, that sounds reasonable.
Yep, sure do.
Just one person from the Planning Commission, right?
Correct. We don't yet have the grant agreement. It's working its way through DOJ with ODOT, and hopefully we'll have that here for one of the next two council meetings so we can get it approved. Can't do anything with the project until we have the intergovernmental agreement in place to pay for it. That's all I had on that item.
Okay, we have the unfinished business release of the draft update to the Aquinnah Bay Estuary Management Plan.
Hi, everybody. You read that, right? You've got that down cold. It was only 177 pages,
every
I believe,
page.
With
yes.
its appendices.
I took a class in speed reading.
I have contacted the state, tried to get a better sense of their implementation. I think the information I had from them, winter of 2024, is not accurate. They're going to need to do something with it before that, as will we. Primarily, what we're probably going to be looking at are some policy changes we're going to need to talk through, including some that relate to climate impacts associated with management of the estuary. And then there are going to be a series of zoning map changes. We call them estuary management units. You saw them in the document probably if you were skimming through it. They've adjusted the boundaries of a number of the management units, including several that are within our jurisdiction. And many more that apply to the county. And so we'll end up needing to make those changes as well. My purpose in getting it out to you now is it was just recently released, give you a chance to begin to sort through it. No action was expected here. Just I'm happy to explain anything if you have questions, but anticipate that this will be brought up probably in the coming months at some point, once we have a better sense of when we have a responsibility and obligation to adopt that plan locally. So I don't have the details yet from the state. But it's the end product of a fairly extensive process, and we've chatted about it on a number of occasions as we've gone along. And first major update to the Aquinnah Bay Estuary Management Plan since I believe it was late 70s or early 80s. So it's been a long time.
So if we wanted to get a copy of it, we could get a copy at some point.
What, of the original plan? Of the
this one.
This one?
Yeah. Just look through it online.
It was included in your packet.
Right. I don't pick up paper.
Oh, it's included electronic. It was we had a PDF in here for you.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Oh, okay. All right.
I just like paper. I can talk to Sherry later.
Yeah, we can make a copy of it for you. That's not a problem.
Okay.
I don't know, it kills trees a little bit. That's fine.
Yeah. Or I could just go.
No, it's okay.
Look at
the irony.
Day.
Yes.
She has one that's there. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
You usually have like a counter copy too. I could look through. Yeah.
So we had a little bit of a light agenda here. I did want to touch just briefly on the I think we included the work program in here. So for your next meeting on the 25th, We have just a regular meeting that day. The council is going to be holding a meeting right before your regular meeting, where they're going to be doing interviews for the vacant city council position. And so the city manager asked if we could not do a work session that day, and I said that's okay. We'll just do, but we do have a we had already had a noticed regular session, so you understood that. So that'll be so for the 25th, it'll be just a regular session where we have the hearing on the special parking area regulations. I'll let you know we're meeting. I already met with the commercial fishing folks. Commercial fishing user group, I guess, is what they're called. Earlier this month, along with the Port Commission, and we'll be at the actual formal Port Commission meeting later this month, and we're meeting with Bayfront business owners on the 19th. And so we're spending a lot of time right now on the rollout of the Bayfront parking management strategy and the meter permit, getting all the electronic permit stuff up and running. The outreach meetings are to help give folks a sense of, you know, what's coming, when, and, you know, we still have the ability to make some adjustments in terms of pricing, types of permits, but that window gets narrower and narrower the closer we get to implementation.
Is that why the parking lots are closed next week?
The parking lots are going to be closed on the 18th. That's related work. What we're doing on that is we're refurbishing the Abbey Street lot and right-of-way. We're doing a grind and inlay on the Bay Boulevard lot, which is the only lot we have that's public parking on the bay side, right there by Pax Seafood.
Yeah.
And then we're going to surface the small gravel lot next to Hatfield Pump Station, next to the coffee house. We will get two additional ADA spaces down there, one in the Bay Boulevard lot and one at the newly surfaced Hatfield lot. Heard from the commercial fishing folks, they'd love to see more ADA spaces further east. Very good feedback, just a tough one to accommodate because we don't have lots further east, and trying to get them in on streets hard. Yeah, it's just very hard to do.
You lose a ton of spaces.
Anyway, yeah, that's going to happen the week of the 18th. So all three of those lots will be out of commission at different points in time during the week. I've explained to folks, we've asked the contractor to be sensitive to parking needs, and we understand that this is still kind of the shoulder summer season for folks, but we have to get the paving work done before bad weather comes in, and we wanted to wait to do the paving until after Labor Day so as to not impact them during peak tourist season. This is that narrow window we have to get this stuff done. And it's a small job, and as such, you know, this is something where, you know, we're kind of tied to the contractor schedule because they're squeezing it in between larger projects. So, but it'll be nice to get those refurbished. You also, Dustin, you're going to start seeing another set of contractors down there swapping out sign poles and putting in the bases for the pay stations. Okay. They'll have, and so
who's doing all that?
We have two different contractors that, you know, going to be working down there, and so
are they bolting them? They just bolt them to the slabs?
Well, we're going to actually epoxy the bolts down to the concrete pads.
There'll be a bolt plate or plate though.
Correct.
Okay.
But we're that way. We actually buy ourselves a little bit more flexibility because we'll have our public works crews do the epoxy and bolt installation. And so what you'll see right now are just 3x3 concrete pads that are flush with the surface of, you know, the surrounding paved surfaces down there. And that'll just tell you where they're going to go. But we don't want the bolts sticking up right now because then they're just a trip hazard. And we haven't set a firm launch date yet on the pay stations. And so not having the bolts, you know, gives us some flexibility because, one, we're still working through the cloud setup, e-permitting. Our police department's working on the license plate recognition. They haven't had the equipment set up yet. We got to have those folks out. So we still have a lot of moving pieces that need to come together and talking to the commercial fishing user group, they also had expressed some concerns about if we can't make it early November and it starts to bleed into when the commercial crabbing season goes out, then that's chaos down there for a brief period of time as the fleet's getting out. And so we have the ability to land this and start this at an off-season period that makes sense for everybody, that that's not causing issues. And so I'll be talking to the Parking Advisory Committee, Bill and others, about, okay, based on that feedback, do we want to adjust the launch date? Because I think for the city's purposes, whether or not it's a date in November or a date in January are not that big of a deal, because we're doing an off-season start. So just try to make sure that makes sense, and that we have all of our ducks in a row, and that the e-permitting is working, and the system.
And give people a couple months to get used to seeing the signs and seeing the machines, and because everyone's going to act blindsided.
Well, we also don't want to put we don't want to put the machines out until we're ready to go. We don't want them just sitting there with an out of service message on them, just being a prime target for vandalism or weather or whatever. So we'll keep those in the nice dry room up in the city shops until they're ready to actually get installed and go.
There's three or five of them? How many are
there?
Ten. Okay. They go on the sidewalk?
None of them are on this. Well, check that. I think we have one on the, we have some in the, in between curb ramps. We have a couple there.
Yeah.
But a lot of the others are just like tucked just off the sidewalk, but near like a parking lot. I've got a map, Dustin, I can show you that shows all 10
locations. I remember looking at them. Yeah, I just can't remember.
We've gone over the locations with the committee. We've walked it with Public Works. We've pretty much landed them where they logically make sense.
Oh.
But our hope, you're going to see a bunch of other sign changes as well when it gets time to launch. I mean, we're going to be putting up a whole new set of regulatory signs and text-to-park signs, and the text-to-park signs are going to have different codes depending on where in the bayfront, so that we can track actual utilization in different parts of the bayfront. It gets complicated on the programming side. And then, alternatives too. I mean, setting up fleet for the commercial fishing folks. I mean, fleet management's its own separate module in there that we're trying to get set up for them and get it set up in a way that, is intuitive. But then also have like QR code backup, so that when the deckhands rushing down there, that's needs to find a place to park and isn't somebody that's part of their normal crew, they have a way to deal with it. So we're working through all those little nuts and bolts. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Derek, I wonder, could you update us? I haven't heard anything in a while on the property down there in South Beach, and what's going on with that RFP?
We selected the RFP. We're talking about the 2.3 acre piece, northeast corner, 35th and US 101. Yeah, we are still in negotiations with the potential developer of that property. Hopefully that will be resolved in the next month or two.
And can you describe a little bit the nature of the development he's proposing?
No, it's all executive session stuff, other than it is consistent with the concepts that were in the RFP. So,
okay.
Retail service type use.
Somewhere in between here and there.
So that's all I had on the work session, Bill.
Okay. And how's the South Beach Church coming along?
It is progressing. So there's a permit into the city right now for all the site work. So it's being reviewed by the city.
A question: Are you? Is the church financing it, or are you paying as you go? Or?
I'm not sure what their financing strategy is going to be. I don't know. It's coming along though.
So after this meeting, you're going to go kind of wrap up the building plans on that.
Very close. Alluding to Derek. There's actually a potential code change happening to the wind loading on the Oregon coast that's going to create for lateral loading for wind loading. It's going to save probably 20% on most structures, not overall cost, but just from if you have steel and concrete, those two numbers would go down by 20%. So there's a little bit of an incentive to let that hopefully get adopted
Dirk, I have a question that doesn't relate to any of our business.
Mm-hmm.
There was a an article in the Yahats News talking about the county's efforts to put a shelter in Newport, an evening shelter from October until April or so, in Newport and in Lincoln City. They had not identified a site in Lincoln City. They're still working on that. The article suggested that they had identified an apartment building to convert into a shelter in Newport. Do you have any idea of the location of that?
So the county is pursuing two avenues. I think for this upcoming winter, they're looking at a rotational temporary shelter accommodations during cold spells. And they have, I believe the Episcopal Church is going to participate. I believe the Presbyterian Church may or may not be. That's on the short list as well. And then the county has a space that they would be utilizing, and it'd be basically, you know, they'd kind of do a rotational basis because the churches have limited capacity, and that program has worked in a number of communities. They would provide staffing to assist the volunteers. They would provide material, you know, cots, things of that nature, stuff that you would need for that purpose. I believe Halk has closed on the property at this point, which was the former counseling building that's on Herbert and 7th. So you've got the little strip mall there that's right next to the public parking, which is in front of it. It's the building immediately
7th
on faces 7th.
Okay, I know we're
on 7th. On the other side of that retail building. Mm-hmm. There was a former counseling building there
in that area. Okay,
that's the building, I believe, that they've talked to us about, and I believe they've closed on it at this point. And that one is one that they would like to make available for as part of this program, I believe. But ultimately, that's one that could serve as a more permanent shelter.
The article suggested that they hope to be up and running by January, and in the interim from October until January, there would be two churches who would help fill the gap.
That would be the Episcopal Church and the Presbyterian. Those are the two that I'm aware of that have been in discussions in doing that. Because I just talked to County Health today, and just to affirm, our fire marshal is going to need to go through both facilities just for basic health and safety, you know, adequate egress. They're equipped with appropriate fire suppression, that kind of stuff.
Now, there's a hotel in Lincoln City, north end of town. They converted to transitional housing or maybe temporary permanent housing. And I heard that they were that same company trying to
the
project here in town.
Yep, Project Turnkey, Northwest Coastal Housing. They have the property. It's the Coast Inn. It's the one right there next to the feed store.
Yep.
So that'll be converted into transitional housing. So they're working on it.
Okay. The work session has terminated at 6:53 p.m.
And that's generous. We've been off topic for probably about 15 minutes.
It's still recording.
So